Good Wednesday afternoon. Welcome to the Long-Term Care Provider Call. I'm Mike Cook, Director of Long-Term Care Services. I want to remind you today that all calls are being muted and the session is being recorded. Hold your questions. We'll have a Q&A session at the end. We'll explain all that. As always, if you have questions, you can contact us at 405-271-6868. Or if you have a question, email it to ltc@health.ok.gov. And then we also have our COVID-19 resources website on ltc.health.ok.gov. So we got a lot of this to go over. First off, we're going to bring up James Jocelyn, our Assistant Deputy Commissioner, to go over general updates on policy and guidance.
Good afternoon, everyone. So I wanted to give you a couple updates. So as we talked about last week, there was new guidance released for the COVID-19 acute, I'm blanking on the precise name here, our COVID-19 alert system. So the color-coded COVID-19 alert system is now available on our website, and we talked about that. So we have we've revised the phase reopening, and it's undergoing final review. But I'm going to go ahead and give you the highlights of this. And so if you think of the phases that we describe in the in our phase reopening document, that a phase one facility would equate to facilities in counties that are orange or red. And phase two would equate to counties that are yellow, and phase three would correspond with counties that are green. If you have not seen the COVID-19 alert system, it is on the Health Department's coronavirus page, and you'll find that on that main page. That's coronavirus.health.ok.gov/COVID-19-alert-system. It's also right there on the main menu of the page, on the banner menu at the top of the page. So you don't need all that detail, just coronavirus.health.ok.gov, and you'll see at the menu top the COVID-19 alert system. So we're going to revise this guidance document to correspond to those alert categories and revise various language so that there's not a – facilities aren't looking to see which direction things are going. You can look at what color things are in your county and then implement your phase status and your criteria and policies that you've developed based on those phases. The document then is updated accordingly throughout, where there's references to the different phases and what things are, so in relation to these alert states in the counties. We also are updating the document to emphasize that visitation and communal activities are allowed within all phases with varying limitations. That we, you know, as we've gone through this, we're learning more about the impacts of isolation, and while at the same time, we've come back and we've talked with you about these different issues and provided additional guidance on visitation, the CMS document that looks at developing creative ways for visitation, and even residents, you know, and what quarantine means, and that quarantine, depending on the type of quarantine, not isolation for someone with suspected COVID, but quarantine of a new admission or readmission, can move in the facility, can be, you know, allowed to walk, and even, you know, it's wearing masks, but being out and not isolating residents. So we've put more language in here to emphasize that, with links to this, that CMS document that we sent out last week, and that provided some of these different strategies on visitation. And the other thing that we're going to do is revise the language that spoke about reporting on phase status to the department. Given the COVID alert status system that we have, we want to just shift that to providing notifications if you are if the facilities phase is in a different category than the COVID alert status. So, for instance, if your county is green, but you're operating in phase yellow or phase two, so phase green corresponding to phase three corresponding to phase green. we'll have to learn that. Phase three corresponding to the color alert green, and you are, because of any factors such as you've got a shortage of PPE or you've got a staffing issue or whatever going on, that you or maybe you have a suspected COVID exposure, and so you're drawing things back till you get results, then you would be putting yourself in phase two, and in that instance you would alert the department. Now, I'm saying that with a caveat that I know there are lots of near misses on potential COVID exposures with staff, and so looking to have notices updated at one day and then change back the next when the results came back would not be our goal on that. But if the facility's phase status did not align with the COVID alert status for the county, and we put a table in there to kind of align all that, then notification would be provided. But otherwise, we don't want facilities alerting us every time a county changes color. That's not necessary. We know we can see the map just like you. So that's the quick rundown on what we've put in here. I'm waiting for, like I said, I'm waiting for final clearance so we can get that out to everybody and let you know about that. The references to, you know, looking at upward trends or downward trends, those have been removed. That's something that you will still be able to view and can view through both the weekly alert, and I want to remind everyone that Fridays roughly about noon, the department will post the weekly update on county alert status. So that'll come out about noon, was what I was told. So at that time, you'll be able to view the county alert status going into your weekend. The other links that we provided to see daily updates still work, and you'll still be able to go and see those numbers there, but the formal pronouncement with the color code will only come out on a weekly basis. I think that's all I'll say about that. I want to follow up on the grant. So we've had limited number of applications at this point. Paula's going to talk more about the infection prevention and control reporting, assessment monitoring plan reporting, giving an update on that, which is a key piece to have that approved and have the email back to submit with your grant application. But we've had 52 grant applications, that number out of date now because they're coming in, but only 52. The biggest problem has been that the licensed operating entity which is the distinct corporate entity that the license is issued to, varies within the applications. They were different than what we had on file in our licensure records. And the W-9 entity that's named that you attach and that license operating entity that you put in the application has to match what's in our licensure records. So we've expedited that in our response back to facilities to give them the notice of change document. If they need to update our records, they can complete that notice of change and send it back to us, and we can modify the application online. Initially, we were requesting folks resubmit, but we worked that out so we